Now we're holding on page Yud Ches in Psachim Ois Lamed Zayin. By the way, I forgot to mention an interesting point yesterday when we talked about the way that people would eat the Korban Pesach indoors, because we said Gog and Va'alias Lo Niskadshu, and then they'd go on the roof to say Hallel. There's a vort on that that says that's one reason why we open the doors by Shvoich Chamoscha. We all know the other reasons, because we're welcoming Eliyahu HaNavi and to show that it's Leil Shimurim, but there's also an interesting explanation that it's a zecher of that, where they would open the doors to go outside to say Hallel, and therefore we do it right at that point in the Seder. Anyway, so Ois Lamed Zayin. So we started learning yesterday about the relationship between the Eibishter and the Jewish people, which we know is often compared to the relationship of a husband and wife. So how they're right now we're still like a kala during the Erusin. Eventually, we're going to be like a kala during the Nisuin. And we mentioned the pasuk Ani Choym of a Shodai Kamigdolis, where the mother, the Malachim, the Pamal Yishamayla, are saying maybe the Jewish people aren't ready for Geula, and we say no, we absolutely are. We have a wall, we have towers, we have everything. So now, continuing on that topic of the Milas of the Jewish people, Amar Rav Zutra Bar Trubya, Amar Rav, my dichtiv, what does it mean? A pasuk in Tehillim, Asher Banenu Kintiim Megudolim Binureihem. That our sons are like plants that are grown in their youth. So what does that mean? Eva Bachuri Yisrael Shleitam Utam Chet. So that refers to the young Jewish men who have not yet tasted the taste of Aveira, meaning in a Chet Aveira in Gemara terminology often means Znus. So unlike young men in most other cultures, where by the time they're of age, they've already had that. Jewish boys don't until they get married, Taka. So therefore, so the Mgudolim, so Kinetiim, it actually says then they're like plants, they're like young plants that have not yet gotten wound or broken or whatever, the same way they're still perfect. Marshall also adds the point, the same way as, for example, a young lady who hasn't yet gotten married can be called a naira, the same way a young man who hasn't yet had relations can be called a nar. So therefore, binureihem suggests the point that they still have that youthful innocence. In fact, Ben Yehoyada expands on that. He says the vort is they're megudolim, they're fully grown, they're full adults, and yet they're still binureihem, they still have the innocence of their youth. Then the pasuk continues, B'nei Seinu Chizavios, our daughters are like the corners, Mechutavos, that are carved out. So what does that mean? Why are we comparing the daughters to corners? Elu B'nei Yisrael, She'oigdes Pischei and Lebalei. And this refers to the young Jewish women, the married women, that is, who close, or unmarried, as we'll see, two different explanations, who oigdos their openings for their husbands. So Rashi says two explanations. One is, like the young men we just said, they don't go and commit znus before they're married. They wait to have relations until they're married. So they're tying it up and waiting until they get married to their husbands. Or the second explanation, Rashi says, is so according to that explanation, oigdos means tying up, like when you bind up, when you oigd the lulav. The second explanation, Rashi says, is Oigdos is Meloshin Magidos. They tell about their openings, meaning when they have Pischei Nida, when they have a flow of Nida, they tell it to their husbands, even though they have tremendous taiva, they would like to be able to continue being with their husbands, but they know it's Osir, and they inform their husbands, even though they could easily conceal the fact. So therefore, they're being compared. So what's the comparison to so v'cheinu omer? And so the pasuk says, "Malu kamizra kizobius mizbeach." We find that in a different pasuk where the young Jewish men and women are compared to, they'll be filled like the bowls that are used to catch the blood of the korbanos, like the corners of the mizbeach. So what's the comparison? Rashi explains, we're saying over there the word umalu in connection with the word zavius, in connection with the corners of the mizbeach. So in other words, even though these women are full of taiva, nevertheless, they don't give in to that taiva. They hold themselves back until the appropriate time. Tosfos, which is not printed here in Ein Yaakov, but it's printed in the Gemara, makes a different point. The zavius, the corners of the mizbeach, are constantly full of blood because they sprinkle or daub the blood of the korbanos on them. The same way, following Rashi's second explanation, that oigdos pischei mebalein means they're sure to tell their husbands when they're nida. So therefore, that's the comparison with the zavius and mizbeach that are full of blood. So that there, thus the pasuk v'neisenu kizavus. Marshall makes another point also. The Gemara tells us in Zvachim that the kronos, the horns of the Mizbeach, were hollow. The Gemara learns it over there from a pasuk. So the same way, in other words, they're hollow. They're like, so to speak, waiting to be filled, but they're waiting until the appropriate time. So the boy same mehacha, or you also have the next pasuk after Asher Banenu Kintiyim Gudolim Minoreim continues Mizavenu Mileim. Our corners are filled. Mefikim Mizan Elzan. They give out from one type to another. Say Nenu Ma'alifos. Our sheep are giving birth by the thousands. Merubavis Bachotisenu. There's tens of thousands of them in our suite. So we see also Mizavenu Mileim. We see the same connection between Zavias and Mileim, between the corners of the Mizbeach and being filled. So that's another point that the daughters are being compared to Zavias, that they're full of taiva, and nevertheless they hold themselves back. And when the pasuk finishes, that same pasuk that we quoted before, Asher Bonenu Kinetiyim, it finishes off. It says, "B'neisenu kizavias mechutavis tavnis heichel." So literally, that means mechutavis carved out tavnis heichel in the form of a heichel. But it means elu ve'elu. The pasuk is telling us both these and those, the boys and the girls, who are tzniistic and act in that appropriate way, male alana kosu kila nivna heichel b'yemein. The pasuk considers it as a schus for them, as though the heichel was built in their times. Tavnis meloshin binyan. So mechutaves, they're made in such a way, tavnis heichel, that they accomplish the building of the heichel. Marsha also explains the word tavnis can also mean like the image of. It's as if the image of, as though the heichel was built in their days. Why is that? So why dafka the heichel? The Rif makes a point that, the Eitz Yosef makes a point, wherever you have Geder Erva, wherever you have people holding themselves back from Arayas, there you find Kedusha. The Heichel is the ultimate place of Kedusha. Therefore, when they're holding themselves back from Erva, then it's considered as though the Bais Mikdash was built in their days. Ion Yaakov mentioned another point as well. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, ever since the Bais Mikdash was destroyed, who really gets the Tam Bia? Only the Oved Avera, only the people who are doing it against the Torah. But here we're saying that people hold themselves back and they don't want to enjoy that taiva that they would have doing it b'aveira. So therefore, it can be considered as though the Bais Mikdash was built in those days, as though the Bais Mikdash was never destroyed for them. In other words, that tam bia was taken away from them. Okay. More on the topic of relations between husband and wife, and therefore, and that as a metaphor for the relationship between us and the Eibishter. So now that, and we mentioned the pasuk before from Hosea, Tikri Ishi Loi Sikri Li Oid Bali, that Hashem says that Lasid Lover, you'll call me Ishi and not Bali, where Bali, we said, suggests more of a dominant relationship, whereas Ishi suggests more of a co-equal relationship, and then so forth. So now the Gemara is going to bring the whole background for how Hosea came to say this Nevuah in the first place. So starting off, the pasuk is Dvan Hashem Shahoya El Hosheya v'Gomer. Hosheya is the first of the Terei also. So the pasuk says that he received Nevuah from Hashem. Bimei Uziyahu Yosam Achaz Yechizkiyahu Malchi Yehuda. During the reigns of these four kings of Yehuda, these four successive kings of Yehuda. So the Perek Echa Misnabu Abar Neviim. There were actually four Neviim who said Nevuah during that period, because we find not only by Hosheya, we find also by Amos. And also by the Gemara is going to give the list over here. Hosheya, Yeshaya, Amos, and Micha. By all of them, it says that they said Nevuah during this period. By Hosheya, it mentions these four Nevi'im. By Amos, it also mentions these four kings. I mean, by Amos, it also mentions them. By Yeshaya, it also mentions them. By Micha, to be exact, actually, it doesn't mention Uziyahu. It only mentions that Micha was Bimei Yosam Ochaz Yechizkiah. Nevertheless, there's actually a note inserted in Rashi in the Gemara that says, What it was is Uziyahu, we know, famously got saras. He went into the Heichel. He got the idea that it would be an honor to Hashem for he as the king to go and bring Torah to Hashem. So he goes into the Heichel to do that. The Kohenim confront him, and all of a sudden saras breaks out on his forehead, and he has to rush out of there as fast as possible. And he remained in Mitzurah for the rest of his life. His son Yosam served as acting king during that time. Actually, the Gemara elsewhere mentions actually that that Yosem were based on the numbers that you find in the Psukim over there. It turns out that Yosem was actually conceived when Uzziyahu was already a Metzora. The Gemara learns from that a Metzora is allowed in Tashmish HaMitah. But anyway, the point is when Yosem grew up, he served as acting king in place of Uzziyahu because he couldn't, because he's stuck outside the city as a Metzora. The Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin the tremendous kibud av that Yosem had, that he didn't take the title king until Uzziyahu actually passed away. Until then, he's only al habayis. He's like in charge of the palace, but not actually taking the title of king. So anyway, this marginal note that's inserted in Rashi in the Gemara explains that by Micha, when it says that he was bimei Yosem, doesn't mean Uzziyahu was actually still alive, but it means it was already after he had gotten Saras, and therefore, and Yosem is now running things. But he's Choshem Kemes, but therefore, nevertheless, but still, yeah. With that said, though, Marsha in Chiddush HaLochus says maybe not necessarily. You could say maybe it means, and when we say Perek Echad, we don't mean, the Gemara actually further, rather, is going to say that it means, the Gemara is going to say further that all the Nevi'im, that many of these Nevi'im outlived four kings. Marsha says doesn't really necessarily have to be. Could be that some of them were not all of them does it say that they were in the time of all these four kings. So maybe Taka by almost in particular, I don't think it mentions the four kings. So maybe then he, Taka, didn't outlive all of them. But the point is all of them were in the time of Uzziyahu and in the time of the parallel king of Yisrael at that time was Yeravam. Not the original Yeravam who made the Egla Azahav, but a later one. We're going to talk about him later in the Gemara. Anyway, so they all said Nevuah during this period. The Gadol Shebekulon, Hesheya, the greatest of all these four was Hesheya. In fact, the Rambam, when he gives the Seder HaKabbalah from Moshe Rabbeinu down to Rabashi, he lists Hesheya as the Rebbe of Yeshaya. Or I think maybe he actually lists Hesheya as the Rebbe of Omos and Omos as the Rebbe of Yeshaya. I don't remember, but whatever. He puts Hesheya first. Shenema, as the pasuk continues, Tchilas Diber Hashem b'Hesheya. The beginning of Hashem speaking was with Hesheya. You have to ask, what does that mean? B'chim Hesheya Diber Tchila. What does he mean? Is Hesheya the first Navi that Hashem ever spoke to? V'alemi Moshe ad Hesheya. How you come into being? Hesheya lived. He lived in the middle time, in the middle of the first Beis Hamikdash. So from Moshe Rabbeinu's times until his times is around 700 years. There were many Nevi'im during that time. So what's this Tchilas Dibur Hashem? Now, on a Poshta level, what it means is that Rashi mentions over there, and then Rashi actually mentions the beginning of Parashas Bereishis as well, that it means the beginning of Hashem's speech to Hosea was such and such, as it goes on to say. Rashi explains the same way as Bereishis Bora Elikim can be understood to mean at the beginning of Hashem's creation, when etc. here, the same way you could understand over here, the beginning of Hashem's speech to Hosea was such and such. But here the Gemara wants to find another meaning in it. So Amar Rabbi Yechanan Tchivala Bar Nevi'im Shnisnabu Boisa Perek means he was the first of the four Nevi'im who said Nevuah during this period. Ve'elohen Hosea v'Yeshaya Amos Sumicha. Three of them are included in Trey also, by the way. Yeshaya gets a sefer of his own. Hosea, Amos, and Micha are all included in Trey also. The Gemara explains, and then they're all placed at the end of Nevi'im. The Gemara in Baba Basra explains their Sfarim are all short. Even though they had long careers as Nevi'im, we know the Gemara tells us only Nevuos that were needed for future generations were written down in Tanakh. So the ones of Hosea and Amos and Micha were far less than those of Yeshaya. So therefore, there wasn't enough of them to make a complete book of their own. Therefore, the Gemara says they combined all the Terei also together and put Chagas, Chaya, Malachi at the end of them, who are the last of the Nevi'im, because otherwise individual small Sfarim like that might be easily lost. Like this is a substantial size safer when you include all 12 of them together. Anyway. So what happened? So now the pasuk, when it starts saying Tchilas Dibur Hashem b'Hosheya, says a very odd thing. It says Hashem, the Gemara is going to quote Psukim later, but to give a recap first. The Ebishter tells Hosheya to go marry an Eishes Znunim and have Yaldei Znunim, which means Hashem is telling him to marry a promiscuous woman, a woman who's into Znus. And the children are going to be Yaldei Znunim. It's going to be questionable whether they're really Hosheya's children or not. And Hashem 10, and then as he has the children, Hashem has them named. So it has named them with things that are going to happen to the Jewish people. The question is, what happened before this? All of a sudden, out of the blue, the Ebishter tells him such a thing. We never find the Ebishter saying any such thing to any other Navi. By the way, there are a number of the Rishonim who learn. The Eben Ezra on the Psukim learns, the Rambam learns in Mor Nevuchim, that this was all in a Nevuah. He had a dream of Nevuah where he sees all this happening to him. But here, the Gemara is taking it that it actually happened in real life. So the question is, what happened? But what's the backstory that the Eibishter is telling him such a thing? By Rachav, yeah. Well, so you know what? It's interesting. So you have the Targum often translates Zona as Pundakisa, an innkeeper. I think the Radak actually on that pasuk with Rachav says that it's kind of a euphemism. The same way as an innkeeper will sell to anybody, so will a Zona. But nevertheless, I mean, the fact is, the truth is, when you get down to it, a Zona does have a very specific meaning in Halacha when it comes to the dinim of whom a Kohen is allowed to marry. We know it doesn't even have to be that it's her fault. It could be that it was oinus, and nevertheless, she's still considered a zona, as opposed to she could be mufkeres lakol. She could be freely with any man, and as long as none of them are anybody who passel her with her beer, then she wouldn't be also to a kohen. So it's true. There are different definitions of zona for different purposes. Yes, sometimes taka it means an innkeeper. Sometimes it means the technical definition, like you have in connection with a kohen. And sometimes over here it means partial to promiscuous woman. Yeah. But he's asking in connection with Yeshua. He's asking in connection with Yeshua. When Rachel married her, yeah, the Gemara tells us in Megillah that she became a Giyotis and Yeshua married her. The last time she's ever referred to as Rachel Azoina is when Yeshua tells the Miraglim, now that the walls of Yericho have fallen, go into the city and get Rachel Azoina and her family and bring them out here because you promised her that you're going to save her. But after that, I don't think it ever mentions her by that. I don't think Bechlal mentions her after that. Bechlal, I don't think. But anyway. So what happened? Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo Hoshea, banechu chatu Yisrael. So Hashem says to Hoshea, your children, the Jewish people, have sinned. Now, hoyaloi loimar. Now, what Hashem expected Hoshea to say is, banecha? Banecha heim. They're your children. Don't just call them my children like you're washing your hands of them. B'nei b'chunecha, they're the children of the ones that you tested, the others. Uchanunecha is another gersa of the ones that you favored. Heim. B'nei Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Gaugel aleihem, midas rachamecha. Roll your midas harachamim on them. In other words, extend more rachamim to them. Don't give up on them. Loi dayesh aloi omakach. Not only did Hoshea not say that, El Amalafon of Ribbono Shelam, Kol Olam Shalachu, Hoshea says to Hashem, look, the whole world belongs to you. Havirim ba'uma acheres, so exchange them for another nation. Not yet. The Eibishter does not appreciate that. We know from many examples. Another example from that generation is Yeshaya says that the Jewish people are amtmei sfasayim, and he ended up getting a coal and later on a saw. So yeah, the Eibishter does not like when people speak badly about the Jewish people. I've met many, if not all of us, probably remember, for example, the Sicha of Asara B'Tevis Tavshin Nun Aleph during the Gulf War, when the Rebbe screamed about that, where there was somebody giving a kitrug on Jews over there, and the Rebbe was yeah. Anyway, so the Eibishter says to himself, what am I supposed to do with this old man? The Pashtos, we're not calling him old because he really was old. We just mean old as in Zeshekon HaChokhmah, he's a Tamad Chokham. With that said, Marshal says that maybe he actually literally was old, because we're going to have further on in the Gemara where, again, you have the suffix whether the children that his wife bears are really his or not. Now, we have a concept in halacha called roiv be'ilus etzel abal. A married woman, even if we have reason to suspect that she was mizana, we assume that most of the time she had relations with her husband, and therefore the children are his. So all of a sudden here we're talking about a suffix. So Marshal says maybe because he was literally a zokin, therefore maybe that chazaka doesn't hold so well. Anyway. So ani omeloi. So the Eibishter decides, I'm going to tell him Hoshea, kach lecha isha zoyna, go marry an isha zoyna, the tailor lecha bnei znunim, and she'll give birth to you the children who may be from znus. Va'achakach omeloi lech v'shalcha ma'al paner, and then I'm going to tell him go divorce her. Im yuchal l'shalcha, if he's able to divorce her, af ani ashaleach et Yisrael, then the Eibishter says, then fine, I'll listen to his kitzrug and I'll send away the Jewish people. Which actually, Marashah says, still, Hashem doesn't mean that he's necessarily literally going to follow what Hoshea is saying and exchange the Jewish people for another nation, but he is at least going to hide his face from us. Hester Pun. So, Shenemar said, thus the Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem al Hoshea, Leich kach lecha isha siznunim v'yal diznunim v'gemer. So that's the backstory why the Hashem gives Hoshea this very strange instruction, is because Hoshea had spoken badly about the Jewish people. By the way, the Abarbanel on the Pasuk makes a very interesting point. He says another way of understanding the words Tchilas Dibur Hashem Bahoshea, which we just said means that Hoshea was the greatest and first of the Nevi'im of that period. He says another point. he says, you have the drasha over here, that you have the whole conversation first between Hashem and Hashem, but we don't have to say that on a pshat level. We could say that out of the blue, Hashem all of a sudden comes and tells him, Leich kach lecha ishes nunim. You would think, a person would think to himself, is that really a nevuah from Hashem? Is that maybe just something that I dreamt or imagined or whatever? But no, when a Novi receives his nevuah, he says, that Abravanel says, he knows 100% for sure that this is a nevuah. He's got no suffix at all, and therefore he went and did it. Anyway, so sure enough, so Vayyem Hashem Alashay, Lech Kach Lacha Ishas Nun of Yaldiz Nun. So Vayyelech Vayyikach as Goyme Bas Divloyim. So he went and married a woman named Goyme Bas Divloyim. And the Gemara interjects to explain why was she called that, or why is it important for us to know her name. So Goymer, why was she called Goymer? Omer Rav Shah called Goymerim Ba. Everybody completed their tithing with her. She was a Zayna. So yeah. Bas Divlayim, why was she called that? I mean, Dibara Bas Dibara. She herself had a bad reputation for her Znus, and she was the daughter of a woman who also had a bad reputation for Znus. So that's divlayim, like a double diba. Diba means, I mean, speaking badly. Actually, Rashi explains in Parshas Vayeshev that diba doesn't necessarily mean bad speech, it just means speech. But what are you talking about them? The kind of thing you'd be talking about her and her mother is not such a favorable thing. Tchilas Dibur Hashem, that it would be the first of its kind, maybe. I don't know. The Gemara is not doubting that, and I didn't see anybody who doubts it. Anyway, Shmuel Amosh Masukah B'Fiyakol Kedvela. Shmuel says a different reason. The word Dvela means a dried fig, or a dried date, which is very sweet. So she was a sweet to everybody, and when they were having znus with her, like a Dvela. So that's another reason she was called Bas Divlayim. But Rabbi Yochanan Amashah called Doshin Bakadvela. Rabbi Yochanan points out another thing as well. How do you dry a Dvela? Is you tread on it. You press it. You pour, like you have the Igule Dvela that I talked about all over the place in Gemara, where you press these dried figs together the same way everybody pressed on her in Znus. Anyway, and so the name Goyme Bas Divlayim, in short, represents what kind of person she was. Dovracher, then another explanation, is the name Goymer is not referring to her own characteristics, but rather to what was going on in her times with the Jewish people. Amar of Yehuda shebikshu ligma mamonim sheyisrael b'yameh, the Goyim who were attacking the Jewish people in her times wanted to finish off all the money of the Jewish people and take everything they had. And Rabbi Yechanan buzzes over Gomu, not just they wanted to, they actually did. Shenemar, as you find in a posik, now this posik is actually in the times of Yehoyachas, who was the grandfather of the Yeravam that we talked about before. Hosheya's Nevuah started during the times of Yeravam. His grandfather, one of the Malchei Yisrael, was named Yehoyachaz, and in his times, the Pasuk says, Ki Ibda Melech Aram, the king of Aram, had nearly destroyed the Jewish people. Vayisimim Ka'ofer Ladush, he made them like dust that's trodden on. That's how bad the Jewish people were off in his times. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, not just that they were planning to take everything the Jews had, they pretty much did. Later on, now the Pasuk goes on to mention that later on the Eibishter had Rachmanus on the Jewish people and their fortunes improved under Yehoyachaz's successors. So maybe the vote is, maybe she was born during that time and her parents named her that because of what's going on with the Jewish people. I don't know. Okay, anyway. So the pasuk continues in Hosheya, Vatah Vatela Leibein. She became pregnant. She gave birth to him to a son. Vayomer Hashem Elov, and Hashem says to Hosheya, Kroshmo Yisrael. Name the son Yisrael. Why Yisrael? Ki oid ma'at, in just a little while, ufakadti es dmei Yisrael al beis Yehu. I will remember and I will punish the family of Yehu for the blood of Yisrael. So to understand that, we have to go back a couple of generations. Yerovam is the fourth generation of his family to be of his dynasty, to be a king of the Aseret HaShevatim. His great-grandfather, Yehu, a Navi, Elisha had sent Yonah HaNavi to anoint him and to tell him his job is to get rid of the entire family of Ahav and all the Avodah Zarah that they had brought into Eretz Yisrael. And Yehu did the job very, very well, as the Pesukim can describe over there. So in particular, there was a Yisrael, there's a place in the north of Eretz Yisrael. Ahab had a palace over there, and the Pesukim can describe over there how Yehu killed many members of Ahab's family there in Yisrael. Emek Yisrael, right, there's the valley over there. And then there's a city, Yisrael, where it mentions Ahab had a palace over there. Next door to his palace was Novos' vineyard, and you have the whole story over there. So yeah. Anyway, the point is, Yehu, even though he got rid of all the Baal and Asherah and everything that that Achav had brought into Eretz Yisrael, he did keep the Egle Azahav of Yerov. So he was told by the Navi, because you did a good job getting rid of Achav's family, therefore four generations of your family will get to be kings of the Jewish people, or four generations after you, which is to say, your great-great-grandson will be the last one. But the point is that nevertheless, still, because of the Egel Azov, the Eibishter started making that now they get defeated over and over by Aram until we have the point that we said before, that they were by Simim Ka'ofer Ladush, where they were almost like the dirt being trodden. So now Hashem is saying, years later, that I'm going to remember against Yehu the fact, all that blood that he spilled in Israel, and punish them for that. Now, you have to ask why. I mean, he did what the Eibishter was telling him to do. But the fact is, Rashi mentions over there, because in the end, he still kept the Egle Azov, which means he didn't do the job completely. Therefore, the Eibishter counts it against him, not as though he did it L'shem Shemayim, but rather as though he did it Stam for his own for his own greatness in order to become king. And therefore, he and his family deserve punishment for that. So therefore, that's why the baby should be named Yisrael. Marshall also adds the point that which is relevant over here, that now the posset goes on to mention afterwards, the Gemara is not quoting the entire all the psukim over here, it's skipping around a bit, but it does mention that afterwards Hashem continues, Vishbati Mamluchus Beis Yisrael. Actually, it says right here in the Gemara, yeah. Ufakati is May Yisrael Beis Yisrael, Vishbati Mamluchus Beis Yisrael, I will cause the kingship of the Jewish people to cease. Now, in fact, you had Yerobam, who was king when Hoshea started saying these nevuas. Eventually, he passed away, and he had a son, Zechariah, who took over as king and ruled for 6 months until somebody assassinated him, somebody named Shalom ben Yavish. The kingship continued to last for another 50 or so years after that. But nevertheless, Yehu and his dynasty were the last ones that were appointed by a Navi. After that, in fact, the Yerushalmi has an expression like that, all the ones after that, from Shalom ben Yavish and onward, are really, they have just the status of robbers in Halacha. They're not even considered legitimate kings. So therefore, so in that sense, it can correctly be said that the Mamluchus Beis Yisrael is going to be gone once Yerovam, once Yehu and his dynasty are gone. Anyway, so that was the first trial. Then the pasuk continues, Vatahar oy batelet bas. Then Goymer became pregnant again and gave birth to a daughter. Vayomer lekrosh shmach loy ruchama. Hashem tells him, and by the way, the name Yisrael also has another meaning as well. It also means a gzera against the Jewish people, that they're going to be scattered in Golus. Yisrael, Meloshen Zora, they're going to be scattered like seeds in Golus. So that's the first gzera, because of this kitrug of Hoshea, that now the Eibishter is pronouncing this gzera against the Jewish people and telling Hoshea to name his first child after that. Then Vatarod Vatelad Bas, Goymer has a daughter, Vayemele Krosh Mach Loy Ruchama, Hashem tells him, name her Loy Ruchama, Ki Loy Oisif Oid Arachem Es Beis Yisrael, because no longer will I have Rachmanus on the Jewish people, Nosei Esalahem, Hashem is saying, should I continue to forgive them? It's like a rhetorical question. So therefore, Loy Ruchama. So this is the Gzeda that the Eibishter is saying he's not going to have Rachmanus on the Jewish people. Vatar oed vatelet bain, then the psukim say, she became pregnant again, she gave birth to a son, vayomer, and Hashem tells Hoshea, kroshmoi loy ami, name this son loy ami, ki atem loy ami begoymer, because Hashem says, you're not my people, and I'm not going to be your Eibishter. So these are three gzeiros that Hashem made against the Jewish people. By the way, Mephoshim on the psukim explain, the Ababonel, the Malbim, talk about the significance of why Dafka, a son, a daughter, and another son. It represents the strength of Malchus Yisrael, like a strong boy, and then the relative weakness of the kings after that, who are more like a daughter, and then the strength of Malchus Yehuda after that, that still continued to last for another 100-odd years after that. So therefore, it's in that order, and they talk about it in some detail about the deeper significance of all of this. Anyway, eventually, after he had this two sons and a daughter, and Iyun Yaakov points out, now he was l'chula alma yotze piriyah v'rivya, because you have the machlokas b'shamay b'shillel, whether you need two, b'shamay holds two sons, b'shillel holds a son and a daughter, now he's got two boys and a girl, so he's yotze in a matter of according to everybody. So now Hashem says to Hoshea, Loi hoy l'chol lumen b'moshe rabcha, shouldn't you learn from your Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the Rebbe of all the Nevi'im? Once I started speaking with him, he separated from his wife. You also should be distancing yourself from your wife. Marashah points out why the Lashon Tod Pirush by Moshe and Bedoil by Hoshea. And he says, because Bedoil is like Hamavdol ben Kodesh L'chol. So look, by Moshe, there's nothing wrong with Sipora, just he needs to constantly be ready for Nevoah, so therefore he needs to separate from her, but not actually divorce her, per se. As opposed to, Hashem is saying to Hoshea, look, your wife is after all Sforot and Isha Zona. So what are you doing married to such a woman? Divorce her altogether, get rid of her. You, as a as an Ish Kodesh, don't belong with such a person.
Hashem said,
Amodi Madi. Hashem told him, Amodi Madi, and Moshe made, so Moshe made a Kavachomer, that Moshe made a Kavachomer. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos that the Jewish people had to be out to Kshural Isha for 3 days before Matan Torah, and I'm constantly on call to Hashem, yeah. But he still didn't have to divorce her, per se, Marsha was saying. He only had to be Pirush. So you should do that. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Bedoil Meloshin Divine, could be. It's interesting. Yeah. But Hoshea says, Rebbeinu Shalom, Yeshli Bonim Hemena, Ve'eni Yocholoi Tzio V'Garsha. I have children with her, so I can't divorce her and send her away. What does that mean? Is it disobeying Hashem? So first, Marsha explains that he's saying, if I divorce her, then it's going to be a pgam on my children. People are going to say, you know why he's divorcing her? Because he knows for a fact that these aren't his children. It would be a pgam to say that on them. Ben Yoyada says that Hashem is not saying I'm going to disobey you, Hashem. Of course he's going to obey whatever Hashem tells him. He's telling him, Hashem, you're asking why I didn't learn from her until now, from Moshe until now, because I figured I have children from her and therefore I can't. But if you tell me to, then of course I'm going to listen. It was by command of Hashem. But now he's saying, the fact is, it was Yaldei Znunim. The fact is, it's a suffix by each one, whether they're his children or not. So now if he divorces her, it's gonna strengthen that suffix. It's going to strengthen that lies. Yeah. No idea. The fact remains, by the way, the Malbin points out on the Pesukim, when you get down to it, it's not like there's any Isur in Halacha. For again, a Kohen is also to marry a Zona. Hoshea is not a Kohen, but yeah. Okay. Anyway, the says, you don't even know but these children are really yours or from others. And it's like that you can't bear to divorce her and to bring a laws on them. Yisrael, Shane Bonai, the Jewish people are attacking my children. Bnei Bechunai, they're the sons of the ones that I tested. Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov. One of the four special things that I acquired in my world. In Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, you have five, but here the Gemara is leaving out. Here the Gemara is leaving out Avraham, pashtus, because we're talking about the Jewish people, so it's not really relevant to mention Avraham in particular. Marsha points out that actually in older Gemaras you find that there were only three of them. The Beis Hamikdash was also skipped. Anyway. Torah kinyan echad minayin. They are Torah shemayim va'oratz beis mikdash v'Yisrael. Torah kinyan echad. How do we know the Torah is considered a special possession of Hashem? Minayin. Dichtiv Hashem kononi reishis da'ke. Hashem acquired me at the beginning of His way. This is the Torah speaking. Kedem mifolam me'oz, before all of His works, all the way back then. That's the Torah. Alpaim shana kodem Torah lo'olam. Shemayim va'oretz kinyan echad minayin dechtiv koine shemayim va'oretz. We find where Malki Tzedek gives Avraham a bracha in the name of koine shemayim va'oretz, which the point is, Marashah says, since shemayim va'oretz themselves were created for the sake of Avraham, al tukri bihi borom ela ba'Avraham, therefore, we can say, therefore, the bracha to Avraham, koine shemayim va'oretz, means that it includes Avraham as well. Beis Mikdash Kinyan Echad Minayin Dichtiv Kharza Konsa Yemino, the mountain of the Harabayas that Hashem's right hand acquired. Yisro Kinyan Echad Minayin Dichtiv Amzu Kanisa, the nation that you acquired. So so the Jewish people are special to me. Va'at Amrita Avinim Be'uma Acheres, you Hoshea were saying exchange them for another nation. So Kibin Shiyoda Shachota, once Hoshea realized that he had done wrong, his chamavakash rachim malatzma, he starts davening for rachim that the Eibishter should forgive him. Never mind davening for yourself. I made three harsh gzeiros of golus and of saying that I won't have rachmanus and of saying they're not my people. I'm the Jewish people because of you. So he stood up and davened for Rachmim for the Jewish people, and he was mevatel those gzeiros, the hischul of Berchon, and therefore in the next parak of Hoshea, he starts with giving them a bracha. Why? Now, Maharsha points out, it's not that the Gzeiros were completely bottled. After all, Golos eventually came true. What it means is it was bottled for that generation. One possibility is it was bottled for that generation. We find that it says in the times of Yeravam that Hashem saved the Jewish people, even though, like we said, Aram knew they destroyed them, but the Ebeshta had Rachmanos on them, and Yeravam ended up saving them during his kingship. So that was the Ebeshta delayed the punishment. Or it could mean that's bottle lo osid lover, that right, those xeris will happen, but there will be a bittul for them eventually. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'hoya mispa b'nei siyo k'choy layom asher layimad v'lo yisafir, the Jewish people's number will be like the sand of the sea that can't be measured or counted. V'hoya, and it'll be bimkoim, in the same place that asher ya'omu lahem lo yami atem, where until then it was said of them, they're not my people, ya'omu lahem b'nei keil choy, they'll be said on them, they're the sons of the living God. So therefore, that zera of loy ami is bottled. The nikbetzu b'nei Yehuda v'gomer, and he continues that b'nei Yehuda and b'nei Yisrael will all be gathered together out of Golos. And at the end of the perek, after the pasuk that we had before, tikri ishi v'lo tikri loy bali, which again is why the Gemara brought this whole thing, he finishes off, uzrapti ali ba'aretz, I'll plant Jewish people for me in Eretz Yisrael. So that's undoing the zera of Golos represented by the name Yisrael. Now the name Yisrael is turning into a positive sense, Yisrakel, that Hashem will replant us in Eretz Yisrael. V'richamti es loy ruchama, I'll have Rachmanos on the one that has been said until now not to have Rachmanos on. V'omauti v'loy ami, ami at. And I'll say to the one that it was said, you're not my people, will be said that you're my people. So therefore, so in the schus of Hosea's tefillah, the Ebeshta canceled all these three Xeris, and that therefore that's Hosea's next nevuah that you have in Perek Beis of his Sefer. By the way, I mean in that connection, the Malbim makes the point that originally Hosea was saying, I give up on them. I'm not only am I going to say Hashem, you should just exchange them for another nation. I'm not even going to give them Musar. Why should I bother? So now, after all this, now you have at the beginning of Perek Beis, he starts saying, etc., and all these brachas. Then he starts with the toichah, rivu beimcham rivu, and he goes on for a dozen with a dozen psukim over there of harsh nevuas on the Jewish people. But there, at least, he's giving them muster. He's telling them shape up, so that all of this doesn't have to happen. Then at the end, he goes back to the brachas. So that's the flow of the psukim over there. Yom Yom Mashiach Ogola. Yud Beis Tishrei. So the complete concept of Tara will be by the Gula Amitis Vashlema, but as it says in the pasuk, "Zarakti Aleichem Mayim Torah Mataratem," that Hashem will sprinkle paradrum of water on us and will be cleansed. We have a me'ain, a preparation for that, also Bizman HaGolus, when Kohenim are careful for Minyanei Tumah. That's also, besides the fact that you have it's a mitzvah in the Torah, but it's also a preparation for the complete Tara that will be La'osid Lavet. Continuing with halachas of Shabbos, even if a person has a lot of help around the house, a lot of maids or what have you, he should still do something himself the covered Shabbos to honor it. We find various amiroim. We find Rav Chista would slice up vegetables very small. Rabba and Rav Yosef would chop wood. By the way, even though Rav Yosef is blind, Rav Zera would light the fire. Rav Nachman would sweep the house and bring in the kalim that he needs for Shabbos and remove the weekday kalim. So therefore, a person should not say that there would be a bizoyan to my kovod. It's a kovod for a person to honor Shabbos. This was, by the way, also in Daf Yomi a couple of days ago. The Gemara mentioned in connection with the fact that mitzvah bo yosim b'shluchai. The Alter Rebbe, in fact, makes a point with that even you have, for example, all these amiroim, they're learning Torah full time. What happened to the idea that if you have a mitzvah that could be done al yedei achirim, then you're not mevatel talmud Torah for it? The Alter Rebbe says that's just it. Part of the mitzvah is to do it yourself, and therefore, in that sense, that aspect of it can't be done al yedei achirim. Therefore, you have to do it yourself. Another din is people bake bread l'kavod Shabbos. So even if people eat pasta, even if people eat pas akum during the week, at least on Shabbos, you should eat pas Yisrael. But even if during the week you always eat pas Yisrael anyway, there's still a point to bake and to bake the l'kavod Shabbos so that the wife can be making the mitzvah of afrosh eschala. Because Adam Rishon was created on Erev Shabbos. The Medrash says he was the chala of the world. And then, because Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, then that caused it to be destroyed. Therefore, it's particularly the woman who has the mitzvah of fixing that up. You make three size challahs. You make a middle size one for the night meal, a larger one for the day meal, because kvod hayom odif. The Gemara explains that the kavod of the daytime meal should be greater, even though when it comes to kiddush, you have kiddush by night is daraisa and by day is not. But when it comes to the kavod, to the meal, it should be bigger and better by the day than by the night. And the smallest one would be for challah shuvos.
Wait, did you change the name?
Did he change the names of the kids after the Xeris? I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know.